today on Anchored in the Word.
It's a gift of God. It's a fullness of the Spirit of God. There are gifts of the Spirit that God wants to pour out on you, not to make you more spiritual to everybody else, but to build up the body of Christ, because we need to be built up in these last days. So it's there. He is there for us. The Spirit of God is there for us to receive this baptism of the Spirit. And the question is, did you receive the Spirit or the baptism of the Spirit when you believed? Because that's what Paul's talking about. That's the call to us today.
But I'm anchored deep in your clinging love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Is the power of God resting in your life? That's the question Pastor Bill poses today as we consider the experiences of the disciples of Jesus. Just to hold together our daily lives to fulfill our roles, we need to be operating in God's Spirit. Listen as we find out how to experience the fullness of the Spirit and what it means for our lives. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
This idea of the Holy Spirit in the church, it causes, when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, because there's such a pendulum swing in the church, you've got one extreme to the other extreme. You know, they always have a problem with extremes, you know, one extreme or the other. It's nice to find a balance. And this idea of the Holy Spirit, especially when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the, some would call it the filling of the Holy Spirit, there's a huge difference in what the church believes. I mean, I know that maybe some of you, when I read about what it said there in verse 6, where it said, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Maybe some of you are saying, uh-oh, here it comes. There's something weird going to happen now. He's talking about that tongues thing. And because why do you, if you did think that in your mind, it's because of some of the teaching that's in the church today. And because there is, it's clear in the Bible that these things did take place, and we believe that they didn't cease taking place, even to today. But there is a huge wide spectrum of this idea, the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and this, especially this idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Give an example. There's a group of people that believe that there is no such thing, because we're talking about now a subsequent baptism or a something that is besides, or when you get the infilling of when you believe, when you're born again. We're talking about something more. Remember, these people were believers already. The people in Jerusalem, when they were there, they were already believers. John 20, as I believe, when the Spirit was first indwelled, the born-again experience happened in John 20, 22, when Jesus was there talking to his disciples. When he had said this, he breathed on them, it says, and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. There's a threefold understanding of working of the Holy Spirit with the believer. And there's this one here in verse 22 of John chapter 20 is the second. He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you for a minute about this threefold interaction, this threefold work of the Holy Spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit isn't an essence. He's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that. He's a being. He's not created. He's always existed. He is God. He's a person. He's not a thing. He's not an it. So many times we talk about the Holy Spirit as an it. He's not that. He's a him. He's a person. But what about this threefold understanding of the Holy Spirit? It's best explained with prepositions. There's three prepositions used in the original language. One, the first preposition is the word, it would be in the Greek, would be para, where we get our word parallel, right? What do we, when we think of two parallel lines, they're two lines that are alongside of one another, right? A parallel line will never cross. It'll always be alongside. A paramedic, a medic that comes alongside you. A parachute. Hopefully you've got one of those when you jump out of a plane, a chute that comes alongside of you, right? So the idea of para, this means to come alongside. And that's the first work of the Spirit. He is to come alongside people and show them their need for Jesus. right? Before you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is alongside. And as you're being drawn, the Holy Spirit is showing you your need for Jesus Christ. The second prepositional phrase would be en, E-N, or it would be equivalent to our word in, I-N, which means inside of. That's what happened when Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on his disciples, and they now were indwelled for the first time. That is something radical. That's New Testament theology. That's radical because the Holy Spirit has always existed. So these people that said, we haven't even known of the Holy Spirit, that's not like that's new teaching. The Holy Spirit is part of the Old Testament too. And he came upon people, but then he would leave. He would come upon, he would empower people, they would prophesy, and then he would be withdrawn from them. And only certain people that God chose for certain times and certain works in the Bible. Not everyone had that. That was a privilege, and not everybody experienced to have the Holy Spirit upon them. But New Testament theology, and this is radical, when Jesus taught this to his disciples, now everyone that is a believer, that whosoever wills, will now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Amazing. That's an amazing thing. But that's the in, or E-N, which would be in, so you get the Holy Spirit alongside. Now you've got, when you become a believer born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, what we're speaking about here in verse 6, and what took place on the day of Pentecost, because remember, these same people in John 20, 22, who were breathed upon and had the Spirit in them, came to Pentecost. And so they're waiting, these same people that had the indwelling, and then something else happened to them. It says in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, and it says that as a result, there were tongues as of fire over them, and then they were prophesying and speaking in tongues again on the day of Pentecost. And that was that word, the same preposition was used upon. That word upon, translated upon, is epi or epi, which means upon. That's the best way we can describe it. And here's what it means. We've got the Holy Spirit alongside of us. Then when you become a believer, he's in you. And then when you're baptized in the Spirit, he's upon you now. The best way to describe it is a glass of water. If I had a pitcher and a glass of water next to it, I'd have the empty glass here and a pitcher of water, the Holy Spirit alongside, the Holy Spirit being the water. I started to pour the water in the glass. I got the water alongside the glass. I've got the water in the glass. But if I keep filling that to overflowing, then the water becomes alongside the glass, the water becomes in the glass, and the water becomes on the glass as it runs over. You get that picture of the overflowing water? And Jesus promised that you shall have rivers of living water flowing from you. And that is the idea of this baptism in the Spirit. This commissioning for service even, for doing the things, the supernatural things that God has called us to do. You know, this idea of being a witness is talked about in Acts 1:8. He says, you shall receive power, you shall receive dunamis, and you will be my witnesses. That word witness is where we get our word martyr from, martus. That's where we get the word martyr. We think of martyr, what do you think of? Somebody that gets killed, right, for their faith. Well, that's not all that that word means. Now, you are a witness if you can die for your faith. That's the ultimate witness right there. If you die for your faith, you are a martus. But that word means witness. Being a witness for Christ. Now, look at the book of Acts, chapter 7. And we're going to look at this martus, this witness that was baptized in the Spirit, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7. He paid the ultimate price for being a Christian. Jesus never said that this life was going to be easy. He did tell us, though, that it's going to be worth it. And there are Christians around the world today, by the way, dying for their faith, that are being witnesses right up to that last time. Boy, it really says you're a true believer when you can go and stand and be killed for your faith. And it says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 54, by the way, what's just happened is there's been a word spoken, there's been preaching going on, and this crowd that had been hearing this preaching turned against the preacher, and he called them, he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did also. And boy, you're talking about length to saying something hard. And when they heard these things, verse 54, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, verse 55, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. By the way, that day that the apostle Paul was student, he was Saul at that time. He wasn't a believer at that time. But I'll tell you what, don't think that that witness didn't go unnoticed by Paul. And anyway, it says in verse 59, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That means he died. I'm going to tell you something. That's a powerful ending to a life. That's power. That's the very power of God manifested, the very love of God manifested. The chief witness, if you will, the chief evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the gift of tongues or prophecy. That can sometimes accompany. It didn't every time when we see it in the book of Acts. Several times it did. What we're looking at right here in Stephen's life is agape love. When you can sit before a crowd of people that are throwing stones at you, and you can be more concerned about them than you are about what's happening to you right now. Think about that. That's real. That's supernatural. That's the love that happened on the cross. This is when you see this, what's happened to Stephen, this is exactly what happened with Jesus. He's being nailed to that cross. And if you look at the two things that Stephen said, he said, receive my spirit. Jesus said the same thing to the Father. Lord, receive my spirit. That's one of the things that he said. But before that, Jesus said, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Remember that? He said that from the cross. That was agape love. So those of you that would say, he could do that because he's Jesus after all, and he's God. Stephen wasn't God. But Stephen was walking in the power of God. He had the power of God resting upon his life. He had received the fullness of the Spirit, the baptism with the Spirit, not just alongside of him, not just in him, but the power of God upon his life. So at the end of his life, he could finish well. And that's not what God necessarily is going to require of all of us. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to try and do that in my flesh. I don't want to try and be killed for Christ. It's not possible in the flesh because I'm going to do what Peter did. I'm going to say, I don't know him. I don't know him. That's in the flesh. But by the power of God resting upon us, it is possible to do great feats for God. That he would be glorified, not the person. He truly cared more about these people than he did about himself, Stephen did. That was the work of God. That was the work of God through the Holy Spirit in his life. And so we go back to Acts chapter 19. And we see that Paul laid hands on and prayed for these believers to receive that upon experience, if you will, that epi, that baptism in the Spirit. Now, I want to say this while we're talking about this, the extremes that we have in the church that have caused people really to shut their mind and their hearts off to the Holy Spirit. Because there are some that believe and some that teach. You know, I was reading a book that my pastor wrote, and he talks about some of the extremes of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you talk about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of, there's giftings, the gifts that God gives to the church, talked about in Corinthians, and see all the gifts. We believe that there's still, for the believer today, all the gifts of the Spirit are in operation today for the asking. The Holy Spirit, it says there in Corinthians, he gives those out as he wills. We can't just say, I want that one, and it's going to be up to me. It's not up to me. It's up to him who he gives the gifts to. But let me just tell you some of the extremes. On one extreme, regarding the Holy Spirit and the baptism with the Holy Spirit, some would say, well, you know what? Yeah, in the baptism of the Spirit, the manifestation is tongues. And if you can't speak in tongues, you're not even saved. That's the extreme example. And then come a little bit off the extreme, and then some would say, well, for sure, if you're baptized in the Spirit, you got to have tongues have to be present, and that's the witness or the evidence that you're baptized in the Spirit. Here's the problem with that. It's unscriptural because the Bible says that tongues, when you read in Corinthians there, it says tongues are not to be an evidence or not to be a sign for the believer. That's what it says there in Corinthians when it's talking about tongues. Tongues are not to be a sign for the believer. Now think about that. If baptism of the Spirit, if tongues were a sign to me that I was baptized in the Spirit, that would go against what the Scriptures teach. Do you see that? So that is not the chief manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It can accompany that. We see that here in this text right here. I'm not discouraging that. And remember, the gifts are always to build up the body of Christ. That's what the gifts are for, to build up the body of Christ. So we're moving this way a little bit off the extreme. And then we believe that as we go through the text, the whole counsel of the Bible. Remember, you can build a case on one or two scriptures and leave other ones out and have an unbalanced approach to the Holy Spirit and to a lot of things. And remember, the Holy Spirit did not come to bring glory to himself. My pastor was telling me, because, you know, some churches are all about, oh, we've got to have the Spirit. If we don't have the Spirit, you know, we didn't have church today. If we didn't have the Spirit, then if that's the case, if church is all about the Holy Spirit, that's out of balance, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is called to illuminate Jesus Christ, to build up the body for the purpose of telling others about Jesus. It's still all about Jesus. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. So going more towards what I believe is a balanced approach is that the baptism of the Spirit is something that is subsequent to. It's something that's not just indwelling. You know, when you come to Christ, you are indwelled. When you're born again, you're indwelled with the Spirit. Now, you can, and we look at the book of Acts, and we'll see as we go through, some of the believers received the Holy Spirit at salvation. So they had the alongside, they had the in, and they had the upon at the same time. That can happen. That can happen at salvation. If it did, then you could say yes to the answer of, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Because we're talking about, when we say the Spirit, we're not talking about the in, we're talking about the upon when he asked that question. The upon. Are you operating in the power, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that dynamic power that Paul was talking about? That's what he sought to talk to the believers about. He was there as an elder to tell them, you need this operating in your life so that God's power will be manifest in your ministry. So we believe that the baptism of the Spirit, what Paul was talking about here in Acts chapter 19, verse 6, was something that was, remember, these were believers, born again, the Spirit in them already, because you can't be a believer without the Holy Spirit being in you. You can't be born again without having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So they already had that. And so Paul was telling them about another experience with God, the Holy Spirit, and that was for the dynamic power. That was for this, the Spirit of God to be poured out on a believer's life so that, as Jesus said, out of them will come rivers of living water. Now, here's what I would say to you. Is the power of God resting upon your life? And I would say to you that the manifestation of that power is what we saw on the cross, is what we saw in Stephen as he was being killed for his faith. Agape love manifested in huge amounts. It can't get any bigger than that. When you're being killed and you're more concerned, I don't have experiences like that all that often. I mean, I'm not talking about being killed. When I want to defend myself in the flesh. By God's grace, either one of us, whether it's in a marriage, and we need God's love in a marriage, agape love, don't we? He's the one that's holding us together. We need the baptism of the Spirit operating even to be a good husband or to be a good wife, to be a good employee even. The baptism of the Spirit to be operating in God's power. It's not just, are you going to be killed for your faith? That's why you need the baptism of the Spirit. I'm using the extreme example here. We're using experience out of the Word of God. But God has this for you. He's got this baptism of the Spirit. There's something that is subsequent to being born again, a fullness of the Spirit. And I ask God all the time for a continued filling in the Spirit. Now, if you're sitting here today, go, I don't believe that. I'm on the other side of the, and here's the other extreme. This is another extreme. The other extreme on the other side is, nope, you come to Christ, you're born again, that's it. You're filled with the Spirit, you got the fullness of the Spirit, and that's all you're ever going to get. You just got to appropriate that for yourselves. That's on the other end of the spectrum. And by the way, the other teaching that normally goes with that is that the gifts have ceased for today. There is no more sign gifts, there's no more gift of tongues, there's no more gift of prophecy, there's no more gifts of healings, there's no more of those things today because they ceased when they were sort of given by God to jumpstart the church at the beginning and after the apostolic age, when the apostles passed off the scene, they ceased to exist. They don't operate. Since we have the Bible now, we don't need that anymore. That would be the other extreme. Now, the problem with that is the Bible doesn't teach that. Nowhere does it say that There's one scripture that they use to back up the gifts cease for today. And then when what is perfect has come, they say, well, that's the Bible. Once the Bible's come, then all the gifts cease. That's talking about Jesus, the perfect one. When he comes, you're right. We'll no longer need faith anymore. We'll no longer need prophecy. We'll no longer need these things. They're going to cease someday. But we still need to be built up, don't we? I mean, don't we need to be built up in the church where we're living today? I mean, if you look at Ephesus, what was going on in the first century church, we're starting to look around now. We're living in a great country, a free country. But I'm seeing the handwriting on the wall. And who knows how much longer we'll have these freedoms that we have today. Maybe we will be persecuted for our faith, even if it never happens to us here. It's happening around the world today. So that other extreme is, oh, that doesn't exist. Here's the problem with that. I don't want to divide over this. There are brothers and sisters in Christ. The sad thing is that if you deny that, if you say that, if you don't believe that, that way is not going to be operating in your life. You're going to be missing out on something in your life. And that's the sad part about that extreme. I'm not going to get in an argument with anybody. I don't want to argue with anybody after church. I'll just say, you know, praise the Lord, whatever. You know, I'm just saying to you, there is something there for you. God has something for you. You know, a gift. It's a gift of God. It's a fullness of the Spirit of God. There are gifts of the Spirit that God wants to pour out on you, not to make you more spiritual to everybody else, but to build up the body of Christ, because we need to be built up in these last days. So it's there. He is there for us. The Spirit of God is there for us to receive this baptism of the Spirit. And the question is, did you receive the Spirit or the baptism of the Spirit when you believed? Because that's what Paul's talking about. That's the call to us today. If you look at your own life right now, I'm trusting that the Spirit of God is even going to help you with this one. Is the power of God resting upon your life? Is the Spirit of God resting upon your life? You're a believer, you know, I'm saved, I got a different view of things now, I can understand the Bible, and I just know I'm going to heaven. But that boldness that comes with being baptized in the Spirit, the fullness that comes with being baptized in the Spirit, and he's got giftings for you. Are you acquainted with 1 Corinthians and the gifts of the Spirit? I encourage you to read up on those as you're praying, because we're going to end the service by a call to action for the believers to receive. And this is what the Bible says regarding receiving. In Matthew, it says, talking about Jesus has given a comparison to earthly fathers and to the heavenly father. And he says, if you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And there's the key word. If you want to receive, ask. That's it.
There's much more Pastor Bill Beckelman would like to share with you, but we've run out of time for today. This has been another edition of Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey. Pastor Bill will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Acts next time. All of Pastor Bill's messages through the Bible are available to listen to or download for free at our website, anchoredintheword.com. That's anchoredintheword.com. While you're at the website, you can follow us on Facebook, learn more about Anchored in the Word, Calvary Chapel Coastlands, listen to more of Pastor Bill's messages, learn about other ministries at Calvary Chapel Coastlands, as well as upcoming events and even our location. That's all available at anchoredintheword.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From all of the production team here at Anchored in the Word, we want to say thank you for tuning in. We appreciate all of you that have supported this program. If you're a first-time listener or have been listening for a while, we would love to hear from you. Your testimonies have been a great encouragement to us. If you have an encouraging testimony to share, call us at 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. Now please make plans to join us again for the next study through Acts with Pastor Bill, as we stay moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.